6-8.
Hi, I'm Melissa, and this is the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Every entrepreneur has a story. Listen to women discuss the financial side of their business, both the challenges and successes. Let's grab life by the bottom line. Welcome back, everyone, to the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Today, I have a dear friend and colleague, Anna Oftenkamp Rossman, with me. Anna and I have known each other, gosh, I think going back 15 years now.
I think so.
Through a lot of jobs and life changes. Yes. And travels and events and friendships. And so she is here visiting from Charleston in person with me today. And Anna, you're currently a controller, correct? Is that right? So you have an accounting background as well. That's how we first started working together. But I invited Anna to come on because I haven't talked about kind of breaks in one's career yet. I've discussed how many people have progressed from corporate to entrepreneurial aspects. But I think a realistic topic, and one that's becoming more and more acceptable, are career breaks in the good and the bad. And so that's why I wanted Anna to come on and talk a little bit about that. But before we get into that, can you kind of share maybe a little bit of your background? Like, what's your education? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me here. I appreciate it. This is exciting. I started late to college because I didn't originally want to go to college out of high school. So I started late and finished late. But I did go to the Daytona State College in Daytona Beach, Florida, which transferred me into the University of Central Florida. Go Knights. And then now currently, again, years later in my life, I am enrolled in Louisiana State University. So
LSU, good school.
Go to my master's online.
So is your master's just a straight MBA, or does it have a subject like I got my MBA in management.
Yeah, I'm doing business management, but on my electives, I'd like a little HR because at the work I do, being the controller, I'm also HR, payroll, and everything in between. So I need a little bit of HR education. So I think my electives, I'll take HR classes to kind of.
So you are working full time and taking classes at night.
And they're accelerated in 7 weeks. And they're just like, I have to cancel everything because it really, you have to do homework every day to keep up. If you miss one day, you're behind and it's hard to catch up. I did that already.
That's tough. That's tough. So, and that's what a lot of people do. I was fortunate enough to be able to take just like a year and a half off. That was my career break, I guess. I took a year and a half off and just did my MBA and was able to concentrate on that. Yeah. So kudos to you for juggling them both.
Right.
So, okay. And then what's your career path been?
Okay. Well, I started out young as a banker. I worked at a bank for many years. And then they offered free classes to go take for banking, which I did. And then that kind of translated. I started taking accounting classes, which I had to pay for. And that's how I went the accounting route. And then have been in several just small offices, you know, mom and pop, no big corporations or anything locally. And
did you like working small mom and pop, or
do
you wish you would have been more corporate?
I do, because I'm not a number. I'm not, you know, you're not in this big conglomerate where nobody knows you. You know everybody. And I like to go around and find out what everybody does so I understand where they're coming from. In one company that I worked for, I actually created a program like that. Like, I would go and sit with you in your department, like the sales department, for a couple hours to see what you do so I can make my job better to help you. And then the next person after me, after the paperwork goes through the accounting department, I go sit with them to see what they need from me, and they, you know, vice versa. So you kind of spend an hour or two with everybody in your company so you know what they do so they can improve your procedures as well to help each other.
That's, and I think a lot of businesses don't do that. So that's nice if more implemented that.
I don't know if they're still doing it, but I started it. But
Right. Yeah. So you did kind of smaller companies, and then we were trying to remember before we even started recording this podcast if we started working together, if it was 2005, 2006. Yeah. We couldn't quite remember, but we worked for a large developer, real estate developer, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know when I started working there, it was maybe 200 employees, and by at its heyday, I think they were up to like 3,000 employees.
Yep.
And then of course, the recession 2008, 2009 hit, and they pretty much piecemealed off and closed most of the business, sold most of the business off. So I stopped working there the end of 2009. And I think that was the same for you?
Yeah, I think you left in like September or so, and I left in October. Then I stayed on until the doors closed. Another woman and I were there, and we packed the boxes and put them on the truck, and we closed the doors.
That's like so, really
final.
And
that
final.
Was right after you left, so...
That's like saying goodbye to...
Yeah, it was really sad to a really great job and good people.
Right, right. So was that kind of when you started like your career break, as we would call it?
I kind of didn't know what to do. You know, I've never been laid off before or out of a job. So I kind of spiraled a little, and I think that's when I moved in with you.
Yes, you did come and stay and, with my husband and I.
Because you're like, well, just come stay with us, because I had nowhere to go and no income. So and you helped me out, and I helped you out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that was a reception. It was really hard to get a job. And so I decided I've always wanted to teach English as a second language. So I went and took a course. I went to Costa Rica for a summer, and then I went to Ecuador for 6 months to teach English, and I loved it. And I got paid unemployment at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to do that and get supported enough to get by.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to add a little side trip. Actually, when I was down there, someone invited me to go to Machu Picchu. So I took the opportunity, and it was wonderful.
Right. I've never seen there. I've only seen pictures, but it looks...
I would love to go back. It's just amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. If you ever get a chance to go, you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little side trip I took.
How was it... you going alone to these countries on your own to a job you'd never even done before?
And I applied online, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you know, a lot of scams are out there. And I showed up at the bus stop, and there was nobody there to pick me up.
And where was this?
Ecuador.
Ecuador.
I freaked out. I'm like, okay, I got scammed. I thought, oh, take a breath. What would you do? First thing, I need to get housing. I went and found a hotel. I asked the taxi driver to take me to a hotel, and I got settled. And then I started asking around, you know, so at least I had a place to take my things and a place to stay. So it really freaked me out. And then finally, it's kind of a long story, but so-and-so told so-and-so told so-and-so and went, got back to this guy, and he called me, and my phone rang in the room, and it said, I'm here, and I was here to pick you up, but I was running late. And anyway, and it worked out, but I was just like, what do? Do I fly back home? I didn't, you know. Know anyone. So yeah, so he eventually showed up, so, and it worked out.
That's when you learned that other countries aren't as type A as America.
Yes. Yeah, they get there when they get there, and it's not. Yeah, so
right,
and that's where I learned to speak Spanish, because he did not speak English, so we had to work it out where the translation, and we use a computer, laptop a bit for the translating, the Google Translate a lot of times, but
That's interesting you say that, because a few months ago, Randall and I did a podcast on like working as a digital nomad. Yeah. And one of the great, one of the great apps, and I'm sure they're probably, I predominantly use an iPhone, but I'm sure they're probably in Android phones too, are all the Translate apps, the Translate features built in. So they didn't have those back then. You had to do the laptop.
I didn't even have a phone. So I couldn't call. I couldn't, you know, I didn't even have a phone. And once I got there, I got one of those little burner phones. I didn't have one at the time when I arrived. So, and I had no contact information. I just knew his name. That was it. They said, oh, so-and-so will pick you up. And that was all I knew.
Wow.
So, but they were very friendly, and I'm blonde. So that made it big. I felt like, you know, they would pay
you
extra
attention.
You stood
out in a crowd.
I stood out in a crowd with the light skin and the light hair. I met some people that had never, ladies, they wanted to take a picture with me because they had never seen a gringa.
How large was the town or the city that you were in?
It was a small town. It was Machala, which is on the south side of Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty small. So you could walk across it. I've walked across it.
Was teaching English as a second language vastly different from doing accounting?
Oh yeah, definitely. The plans and everything. Yeah, it was fun, and they were eager to learn, so which was nice because it was adults. I didn't have children. There were children in the building, but I did not teach children.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little tougher crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I did teach adults who want to learn, and I really bonded with them. And like on the weekends, they would go. The girls would say, "Hey, let's go. We're going to this, you know, swimming in this river and waterfalls, and it was absolutely beautiful. They had me, we were driving there, and they had me try goat's milk. They're like, oh, you need to try this. And I didn't know what they were saying. And they called the man over, and he poured goat's milk right from the goat, and they handed it to me.
Wow. And did you like it?
I eventually drank it, and it was really good. Other than being warm, it was good. It was really good, right from the goat.
Wow. That's fresh.
So, so I actually bonded with them, and we did things on weekends and stuff, so... And hung out together, which was nice.
How long did you do that, teach?
About 5 months, because last month I took off to go to Machu Picchu. So it was one school term, basically.
So what did you do after that? Did you come back to the U.S.?
Then I came back to the U.S. And I don't know, did I come back with you? No, I was living with my sister.
Oh, you visited with your sister. Yeah, I know then, you came and visited with us in New York.
Then I kind of came a nomad, because then it was like, what do I do now? And jobs were still kind of scarce. And I kind of had a little mental breakdown where I just didn't know what to do. And I was frustrated with myself. And, you know, you kind of knock yourself down when you can't get a job. You're not good enough, and you don't have this, or you don't have that.
And you just came from such a different environment.
Yeah.
To
come back to the U.S. was a shock. But
and I know we've talked a lot about, I think our families were very similar in that you're very traditional. Like, you go to school, or you mm-hmm. get a job, and you stay in that job.
Right.
And if you deviate from that, you're kind of, you're not doing the right thing.
That's what my father kept saying. He's like, well, you need a job. And I'm like, I know, but, you know, they're not hiring me for some reason. And I had people trying to, get me jobs, or they'd give me an interview, but that was as far as I'd get. And mm-hmm. so I started traveling around. I visited you and stayed with mm-hmm. you for a little bit. And I'd go to my sister's, and then I'd go to a friend's. And then I went to another town, another friend's. I'd say, hey, can I stay with you? And I just kind of moved around and was kind of lost. I just really didn't know, where to plant myself.
Mm-hmm. So. Were you considering living in other parts of the U.S.? Or did you know you primarily wanted to stay back in Florida?
I actually thought I wanted to go back to Central America, not necessarily Ecuador, okay. but I kind of thought I would go back there because mm-hmm. it was really inexpensive to live. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I could speak the language to get by.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I'll just go back.
Yeah.
But I didn't. That didn't work out that way. I eventually got a job
back
in Jacksonville. I was with you in New York,
mm-hmm.
and I got a phone call, and it was a 904 area code, and I'm like, that I know that number. Well, yeah, it was Florida, which is north of Daytona Beach. And so they called and they offered me the job. So I went back to Jacksonville and stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good job.
How long did that job last?
A few years, because I got laid off at that because they took the top, my boss, they laid him off, and then they laid off anyone that was like loyal to him or working for him. So they let me go.
Did they merge that company or sell that company?
No.
Is that what happened?
No, they just kind of grew, and they let him go, and then they let the people underneath him go. And I knew mm-hmm. it was coming. I mm-hmm. had cleaned out my office and everything, and then the girl came out, and she's like, oh, we're going to let you go today. I go, okay. She's like, you act like you knew. I go, oh, I knew. I cleaned everything off my desktop. I deleted everything because I knew it was coming.
So, you know the changes that happen every once in a while.
And she said, you need a box. I said, nope. I just picked up my purse. I said, bye. So, because I knew it was coming. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Looking back, are you happy that you took that career break? Do you think it was the right thing to do?
Yeah.
And I guess there's kind of a right thing we say was the right thing to do for you. And was it the right thing to do for your career? Or does that even matter?
Yeah, I don't know about the career part, but I do know as a person, I was kind of lost and very in a weak mental state. I don't know how to describe that. But mm-hmm. I didn't know where I was going or what I was going to do or what I should do. A lot of people just know, and I didn't. And I kind of floundered a while. And I think that really made me a stronger person coming out in the end because, in that time, I also became Catholic and converted.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helped me trust God instead of trying to figure it out on my own.
Well, it sounds like you also became very independent.
Yes.
I mean, when you just tell the story of getting off the bus in a small town in Ecuador.
And I took care of myself, and that is not who I grew up to be. I grew up to be being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, you can't do it, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. Don't ever let anybody say you can't.
I like that. Did you feel like, was everybody trying to give their two cents and advice as you, you know, were kind of going through a dark time?
Yeah, at times, but we were talking about this earlier. I wish, you said if I had any regrets, I said I wish people would have got in my face and said, hey, you're messing up. You're not concentrating. You're not focusing. You know, get in my face and tell me the reality of it. And
be more honest rather than...
instead of coddling me and saying, oh, it's okay. You know, it'll all work out. No, that's not it.
It's not life.
You need your friends to tell you, hey, you know, get your shit together.
To be true.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one thing I wish would be different.
I always like asking people as they look back on things.
Yeah.
Because you think... Because let's face it, we know we're all going to go through tough times again in the future.
Yeah.
We don't know what they are, or we know our friends and loved ones are. And so you think, how can I help them or help myself to get through those times and not be as difficult?
I had a girlfriend say, you know, just shake me, you know, or shake a person. They're an adult. You can take it. It's not with that shaking children's syndrome.
Right.
She says, I just want to shake them. They're an adult. They can take it.
Right.
That's what I needed, and I didn't get that. So, but once I started trusting God, things started falling into place, and I started getting good jobs and met really good people, and I had a really good support system.
You did. And now you've recently, in the last few years, remarried.
Yes.
You've moved to another state. You have new house, new job.
Yes. Wonderful job. I moved from Florida to Charleston, South Carolina. I was recruited by someone that was working part-time in an office that just worked in the back, and you don't know when people are watching you. Mm-hmm. And he was watching me, and I was running this office. I was the office manager of a CPA firm, and out of the blue, long story, I lost that job due to the owner having an illness, so I had to leave. So I was kind of floundering once again, and I got a phone call, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm just doing this little accounting, bookkeeping kind of job. It was, you know, just keeping me afloat.
Yeah.
And he says, I have a job for you. And he described it, and it had benefits and perks and this. And I said, it sounds too good to be true. What's the catch? He said, it's in Charleston, South Carolina. So I'm newlywed for 4 months, and I went home and told my husband, oh, I got this job offer, and I'm going to drive up to Charleston for the day. So I drove up and back, and he says, well, if they offer it to you. I said, no, it's not an offer. The offer's already there. I was recruited, not you have an interview. I went up and met the owners and everything, and they're like family. They treat you like family. If you need help with anything, they are there. Now, the catch is they're all guys. I work with all guys. So that's a challenge every day. So I don't know if they're children or if they're grown men. You know, there's different days. We have Nerf guns in the office. And
so you bring the female perspective to the office.
Yes. So, but I think they would stand up for me any day, any given day. They would.
That sounds nice.
And it's a small office. We have 25 total, but they're not all in that office. They're at different locations.
So your newlywed husband moved up to Charleston with you too.
Did. He said, let's go. And I said, okay. And he was able to get a job that worked remotely, so that the company is in Jacksonville, and then he works remotely from Charleston from home.
Nice.
So, you know, we prayed about it, and it just fell in his lap.
Nice. Well, as always, when I get to the end of these podcasts, I have some questions that I just like to throw out you to get a quick response get a little bit different version.
Okay.
You've probably heard them on prior podcasts,
I have.
So you know, but let's start. Even though I think I know you really well, I feel like you might surprise me with a few of them too.
Okay.
So I love this part.
Let's go.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
Oh, that is the joy I have in life. I think one of your other guests talked about this. You're not always happy all the time, but I trust in God, and I always have joy because He will get me through.
Where were you the happiest?
Oh, wow. I think now.
Oh, that's lovely.
I think now, in this time in my life, I don't know what I would ask if they said, what don't you have, or what do you want more of?
That's wonderful. Which living person do you admire the most?
You. You said you were going to be surprised. There you go.
You're going to leave me speechless.
Yes.
See, now you're going to make me start tearing up and crying. Thank you. We've been through a lot together.
We have, yes, and that's exactly why. You're always there for me, even 15 years later.
Well, that's the benefits of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
What is your latest extravagance? I had someone say, I was just at the airport and I bought myself this most ridiculous, luxurious scarf that I would have never bought for myself. So have you?
Wow, I don't know. I'm very frugal and I tried to be a minimalist against my opposite husband.
the yin and yang.
I don't know.
Maybe that's a sign that you do need to get something.
I do. I'm going to look into that.
Okay. The holidays are coming. What talent would you most like to have?
Oh, my husband's going to laugh at this. Mike, I want to learn how to play the piano. He bought me a piano last year for Christmas. And it's a shame because my mother's a music teacher and I do not know how to play the piano. So I have a piano and I'm going to take lessons.
I love that. I always wanted to learn how to play the piano too, and I'm not musically inclined at all.
Shame on me, because I am musically inclined and I just chose not to.
What do you consider your greatest achievement?
Oh, wow. Surviving cancer would be probably number one.
Yes.
I'm a breast cancer survivor.
And how many years now?
11.
Wow. That's wonderful. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I love to travel. I love to hike, so I would say either a job that involves traveling or like a travel blogger, because I do like to write. Mm-hmm. And with that said, I started 2 books years ago, which I have not finished. I hope to finish someday.
I think we know what you're going to be doing in retirement.
Yes.
I gotta finish playing the books. Piano and writing.
Yes.
And traveling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The day I retire, I am headed for Europe, yes.
What profession would you not like to ever attempt?
I don't know. Do you have any examples?
I have people that I think, wow, physical labor jobs? I don't know how those people.
Yeah.
That's really tough.
Scooping up the animals off the freeway, off the road. That would be awful.
Oh, the roadkill?
Because I love animals too, so I think that would be really difficult.
I have never had that answer before. And I can agree that's pretty awful.
Or a veterinarian that, you know, you see all these injured animals, that would be very tough. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of have a tough heart to help them and put them to sleep sometimes.
Yeah. And lastly, do you think you have a motto?
I do. I always try, even if you fail.
I was guessing that you're probably going to say, wasn't it something that's on your motto? You always put mottos on the bottom of your emails.
Yes.
Or you always have them on.
I do.
I feel like they're fortune cookie. Like they're on your monitor at work.
If you never try and fail, you don't learn. You need to not be afraid of failure and get through that.
Yeah. Failure is a great learning tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much
spending
time while you're here visiting us out in Boise, all the way from Charleston, mm-hmm. coming and being on the podcast. See, you can check this off your bucket list.
Check this off my bucket list.
You did phenomenal.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Future episodes will include chats with other amazing entrepreneurs. Let's keep the conversations going, whether you are running the show or working on your side hustle. We give you the business advice you need. If you learned something new or felt inspired, let me know. If you want more tips and great information, follow my Instagram account, Numbers and Tech, or email info@numbersandtech.com. Always remember to grab life by the bottom line.